Jesus could have withdrawn himself from his enemies. He had power to lay down a human sense of life for his spiritual identity in the likeness of the divine. But he allowed men to attempt the destruction of the mortal body in order that he might furnish the proof of immortal life. Nothing could kill this life of man. Jesus could give his temporal life into his enemies' hands, but when his earth mission was accomplished, his spiritual life, indestructible and eternal, was found forever the same. He knew that matter had no life and that real life is God. Therefore, he could no more be separated from his spiritual life than God could be extinguished. His consummate example was for the salvation of us all, but only through doing the works which he did and taught others to do. His purpose in healing was not alone to restore health, but to demonstrate his divine principle. He was inspired by God, by truth and love in all that he said and did. The motives of his persecutors were pride, envy, cruelty, and vengeance, inflicted on the physical Jesus, but aimed at the divine principle, love, which rebuked their sensuality. Jesus was unselfish. His spirituality separated him from sensuousness and caused the selfish materialist to hate him. But it was this spirituality which enabled Jesus to heal the sick, cast out evil, and raise the dead. From early boyhood, he was about his father's business. His pursuits lay far apart from theirs. His master was spirit. Their master was matter. He served God. They served mammon. His affections were pure. Theirs were carnal. His senses drank in the spiritual evidence of health, holiness, and life. Their senses testified oppositely and absorbed the material evidence of sin, sickness, and death. Their imperfections and impurity felt the ever-present rebuke of his perfection and purity. Hence the world's hatred of the just and perfect Jesus, and the prophet's foresight of the reception error would give him. Despised and rejected of men was Isaiah's graphic word concerning the coming Prince of Peace. Herod and Pilate laid aside old feuds in order to unite in putting to shame and death the best man that ever trod the globe. Today, as of old, error and evil again make common cause against the exponents of truth. The man of sorrows best understood the nothingness of material life and intelligence and the mighty actuality of all-inclusive God good. These were the two cardinal points of mind healing or Christian Science which armed him with love. The highest earthly representative of God, speaking of human ability to reflect divine power, prophetically said to his disciples, speaking not for their day only, but for all time, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and these signs shall follow them that believe." The accusations of the Pharisees were as self-contradictory as their religion. The bigot, the debauchee, the hypocrite, called Jesus a glutton and a wine-bibber. They said, "He casteth out devils through Beelzebub and is the friend of publicans and sinners." The latter accusation was true, but not in their meaning. Jesus was no ascetic. He did not fast, as did the Baptist's disciples. Yet there never lived a man so far removed from appetites and passions as the Nazarene. He rebuked sinners pointedly and unflinchingly because he was their friend. Hence the cup he drank.